Good morning, and thank you for holding. Welcome to C&A's conference call to announce the results of quarter four 2021. Today we have here with us Mr. Paulo Correa, CEO, Mr. Milton Lucato, CFO, and the Investors Relations team. We inform that this meeting is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the company's presentation, we will start a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should you need any assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We would like to inform that this conference call is being simultaneously translated into English for the convenience of our foreign investors. This conference call is also being simultaneously broadcast on the internet via webcast and may be accessed at ri.cna.com.br, where the slide presentation is also available. You may flip through the slides at your convenience during the presentation. The replay will be available right after the call. Before proceeding, we must note that any forward-looking statements that may be made during this conference call relative to the company's business prospects, projections, operating and financial targets are based on beliefs and premises of the company's management, as well as information currently available to C&A. These forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and premises because they refer to future events and therefore they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that general conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect C&A's future results and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to hand it over to Mr. Paulo Correa, CEO of C&A, to start his presentation. Mr. Correa, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We are here today to announce our results for quarter four 2021. Quarter four was a quarter that still suffered a lot of impact, and very significant and strong impact due to the increase in the number of COVID cases. It was still impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly in the later part of the quarter. We had a higher level of concern on the side of our target public related to leaving their house due to the Omicron variant of the virus and the increasing number of cases. Also macroeconomically, we could see that there was inflationary pressure at the time, particularly for the C and D socioeconomic classes, which was a little higher during that period. However, despite this more challenging scenario, we are very happy to announce that we were able to achieve one more quarter of growth for our revenue comparing to the pre-pandemic levels. Our revenues were up by 8.3% compared with quarter four 2019, and in apparel, this growth was 12.3%. Apparel had double-digit growth compared with the pre-pandemic levels. Despite all this impact on our traffic, which ended up happening during quarter four due to the Omicron variant, our online digital revenue keeps strong. We saw an increase of 24.7% year-over-year, and increasing growth in our digital channels, particularly WhatsApp sales. Despite all the challenges in the macro scenario, We have many reasons to celebrate. We had a lot of structural advances regarding our strategic agenda. And I have three highlights that I would like to share with you today. One very special highlight was the launch of C&A Pay, which is our digital credit platform. And after a long negotiation with our previous partner, we were able to design a solution. And this was very interesting because not only could we maintain the services and products that we previously offered to our customer base in terms of credit services and products that existed pre-C&A Pay. So we were able to build a transition model and we were able to execute in a record-breaking time the development and rollout of this very innovative 100% digital product, which is very well accepted by our customers. The second highlight for the period is that we opened 11 new stores. And according to our IPO plan, we are still meeting the levels established in the IPO of 20 to 25 new openings per year. And the third highlight for the period regarding the strategic deliverables of the quarter, we inaugurated our new distribution center, fully automated for e-commerce with high technology, which impacted the efficiency and speed in which we assemble our orders. This was seen from the beginning, from the moment we started the operations of the distribution center, we started seeing the difference, and this will certainly make a difference for our customers and positively impact our growth and our results in the mid to long term. Next slide. It's also important to talk about our developments in ESG and ASG. In the environmental front, we celebrated 1 year from the nationalization of our Ciclos collection, which are the products that are certified with level gold cradle to cradle. This certification is being offered in Brazil by suppliers that are approved by C&A. And this certification attests to circularity as a foundational principle for the company. These products, if you try, these products decompose naturally, they are biodegradable, and they are a unique technology, we are still the first in Brazil. In the social front, I'd like to give highlight to the Fashion Futures Award, which was developed and coordinated by the C&A Institute, focused on more sustainable, inclusive, and regenerative fashion. The first edition was in November last year, and five finalists were selected. And now, during 2022, these five finalists will be monitored by the C&A Institute, and they will receive investments to boost their current projects. In the governance front, we deployed an internal ESG committee to assist the executive directors and the human resources committee. This is also an important reason for pride because it's the fourth consecutive year in which we lead the Fashion Transparency Index in Brazil. This attests to the seriousness and the consistency of the work we have been doing to build a more sustainable, more transparent fashion in this country. And finally, we were also the retail public company better ranked in the Abrasa Award, a recognition of our clarity, transparency, and candidness when publishing our results. We still have a challenging macro scenario, but we see some very significant advances in the evolution of our strategy, not just for the dimensions that I already explained, but also for ESG. On the next slide, we share a little bit about the new stores and store formats that we are developing. In quarter 4, 21, we opened 11 new stores, so we closed the year with 26 new openings. And considering our strategy of focusing our new openings on cities where we were not present previously, so new cities, this not only strengthens our brand, but also promotes an omni-channel contact with customers in more locations within the country. And at the same time, it generates to CNA a great number, a very significant number of new customers. This modality has been a very interesting modality for us because it's not only bringing the customers that we already had in our online channels who are now experiencing our physical stores, and this ends up bringing this omni-channel dynamics to new regions. We're starting the year 2022 with 319 stores. All our 319 stores have omni-channel initiatives. They are all equipped with ship from store. They all have the infinite aisle technology. They all have click and collect capacity, including expedited click and collect. So, and all our stores also have WhatsApp sales. In the most recently opened stores or most recently renovated stores, the experience they provide is more contemporaneous, but it's not just that. They also provide regionalization. In these stores, we have panels with ideas and concepts that are specific to a certain city. So here we have a picture of our Pinópolis store, Angra store, Teixeira de Freitas. So the store is a portrait of that city, of that environment, of that location. This also gives us the possibility to create distinguished environments. For example, new fitting rooms where we give our resellers the chance to record a live video or to make an internet post, trying on new outfits with new ideas and being able to broadcast that or post on their social media. We also advanced in the development of our sports brand, Ace. We opened another double door in the city of Fortaleza, and it has been really successful. The sales level per square meter for this specific brand compared with what we had in our traditional format, it is growing at triple digit, this category particularly. And that's not just because of the physical dimension, but this is a consequence of the work that we have been doing to strengthen our assortment with new categories under the sports category and with more fashion attributes, which is actually the company's DNA. So it's our interpretation of fashion. Fashion can also be present in sports and fitness activities, so we can also express ourselves and bring this differentiation element for the Ace brand. Another example that we had in this sense was the collab that we built with Pantone, which was a beautiful, very successful project. And we had the opportunity to materialize the fashion dimension to sports fashion. We're very happy to see all the advances in this category, and our plan is to keep evolving under this concept. On the next slide, we talk about the digital lever. I think quarter four was also a very important quarter in this sense. Our GMV grew by nearly 25%, and we reached 900 million online sales. And I don't know if you remember, but pre-pandemic, we were at 150 million. This shows that even with the recovery of the traffic in our brick and mortar stores, these are new channels that are here to stay and that are becoming more and more relevant in our everyday business. I'd like to give highlight to direct WhatsApp sales. This is a model that has been expanding, not just in terms of volume, but also with a very good level of service, a very high NPS. And this also ensures a closer relationship, a more comprehensive and a simpler relationship with our customers. Our relationship program, Sei Aí Você, reached nearly 20 million clients, 19.7 million to be more precise, representing about 70% of our sales. This clearly shows the level of connection that we are being able to establish with our customer base. This also provides us with the potential to build formats and information to reach an even higher and more personalized level of relationship with our customers. For the marketplace spheres, Galeria CIA closed the year with 462 sellers. And our focus here is not just the number of sellers, but also to increasingly build with these sellers a better assortment and more relevance and more integration of these sellers to our company and to the CNA experience overall. We are seeing concrete improvements in terms of the share of marketplace in our sales. Month after month, we are seeing this evolution of the marketplace aspect and with a better assortment and more relevance connecting to the customer experience. The active monthly users of our application was 3.9 million, 13% more than year over year. And we had 5.1 million installations in quarter four. Next page. We talk about the supply lever. In the distribution, the product distribution front, push-pull, which started in quarter three officially, is already reaching 20% of the eligible categories. These are numbers from December 21. So this is also a complex process, which is starting with a good level of security, a lot of technology, and a lot of consistency in this journey. Another important project for optimization is the RFID initiative. We closed quarter four 21 with 200 stores that already had their infrastructure ready for RFID. And now we have all our national vendors already taking part and already adhering to the project. So once again here, we are seeing a very speedy evolution, just like I said, for push-pull and for CNA Pay. And this consistently show our capacity to manage new initiatives and provide speed, quality, and consistency in our execution. In customer delivery, I think the great highlight of the quarter was the completion of the deployment of our automated DC with a totally innovative technology with robots that transport goods. And this brings a lot of gains in terms of how we move goods inside our distribution center. And we are able to prepare 15 orders per minute. So this is a very significant efficiency gain for our operation. Consequently, this helps us advance our level of service, and we are already seeing a concrete impact because now we have more than 50% of our orders being delivered within 2 days. And I think that in our industry, this is a very outstanding. Another highlight is that our flight now has 31 electric or gas-powered vehicles to supply the stores in São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, and we have 3 electric motorbikes, and this all aims to reduce CO2 emissions. Next page. Last but not least, this may be the most impactful highlight of this quarter, which was the increase in our credit offer. This was a very special moment for us. It was truly a reason for celebration. You all know that in November, we finished the negotiations with our partner. And we were very confident, and we had already started the structuration of our new credit granting offer in the start of the second half of last year. And then in early December, in the first days of December, we were able to launch C&A Pay, our 100% digital credit solution. The execution time was record-breaking with no operational noise whatsoever. We have our ecosystems of partners fully set, and the team that we hired for this operation ensured a very smooth and seamless execution and rapidly responded to all adjustments that were required during the period. C&A Pay is a fully digital credit offer, very intuitive, very easy to use. 5 minutes is all it takes for a customer to start using their C&A Pay. And you all know that the goal of this strategic vertical is to increase retail sales and provide a better customer experience with our brand, promoting more access and fully connected to Sei Aí Você. So C&A Pay and Sei Aí Você walk together to provide better connection and better data collection so that we can use this data to bring more relevant and more impactful offer to our customers. At the end of quarter four, we had more than 400,000 cards already issued, an approval rate which was practically double what we had when we were only offering the previous card with our partner, and an activation rate over 90% in our physical stores. And although in quarter four it was only active for 26 days, C&A Pay already accounted for 4% of C&A sales during the quarter, with a very clear prospect for the future towards a huge increase of the relevance of C&A Pay in our business as a whole. I would also like to highlight that the governance design for C&A Pay is already operating. We have two committees. We have the risk committee and the credit committee, and they are regularly validating the metrics and parameters of the business, ensuring the evolution of this business front, always taking into consideration all the nuances of the economic scenario, because we certainly have to have them reflected in our credit management dynamics. So in sum, I think that we continue to be absolutely on track in terms of executing our strategic plan. We are still seeing the impacts of the COVID pandemic in this current quarter. But at the same time, the continuous implementation of all these levers will help us see a positive impact in the next quarters to come. Now I'd like to hand it over to Milton, and he's going to go into more details. Thank you, Paulo. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. This was a good quarter, as you heard from Paulo, but it was slightly below our expectations, particularly for Fashiontronics, for cell phones and smartphones. But still, we were able to grow compared with pre-pandemic levels. Our total net revenue was 6% year over year and 4.9% increase compared with pre-pandemic levels. And it was and apparel particularly was up 15% year over year and 12% compared with quarter four 19. The Fashiontronics revenue is still under pressure, and it was 2% down year over year and 13% down compared with quarter four 19. And here the main aggressor is the cell phone and smartphone category, accounting for 80% of the total. This more competitive scenario, the availability impacts, and a strong comparison basis were the main factors that explain this behavior. For same-store sales, our consolidated indicator was 5.8% in quarter four 21 and 24.7% for the entire year 2021. The next slide shows our gross profit and gross margin. In quarter four, the gross profit for goods was 890 million, up 12.8% year over year and 7.5% compared with 19. The gross margin for goods was 48.6%, 2 percentage points up year over year. And this was mainly due to the higher share of apparel in our sales. For apparel, the gross margin was 52.4%, a slight increase of 0.2 percentage point. And this was still due to the inflationary pressure on the cost of goods that we faced during last year. And this ended up eliminating the gains obtained in the operational front of dynamic pricing and logistics. As you heard from Paulo, we have strong investments that are showing advancements in this direction. We're very happy with the results that we are seeing from these investments, but this higher inflationary pressure ends up attenuating the effects, but we are very positive regarding the future. Compared with pre-pandemic levels, the margin for apparel was 1.2 percentage point down. In others, including Fashiontronics, the margin was 21.8%, nearly 1 percentage point higher than quarter four 20. And here we had an impact of the calendar effect for the recognition of tax credits. And this was concentrated in quarter four, so this ended up benefiting our margin. So here, I think it would be more recommendable to look at the entire year, where we had a 3-point reduction in our margin. And this reflects the more challenging competitive environment, particularly for online, and also the pressure on the costs of equipment. So we should look at the entire year and not just a quarter. The gross margin for goods for the entire year 2021 was 45.8%, slightly better than 2020, but still 1.3 point below that of 2019. This is very consistent with what we have been telling you in other calls, individual calls, and these group calls. We are very confident that we will recover our margins looking forward. The next slide shows our operational expenses. In quarter four, operational expenses added up to 535 million, up 3.8% year over year. Selling expenses were 592 million, and a relevant part comes from this category. This was a 12% increase, and the occupancy, including rentals and all other associated factors, and also personnel, were the most impacted items due to the business expansion, as you heard from Paulo, since we had 11 new openings during quarter four. There's also the inflationary pressure that should be considered here. In G&A expenses, they were down by 18%, a total of 106 million, due to a reversion of some labor-related provisions in the amount of 13 million. If we exclude this effect, G&A expenses would have been 119 million, still 8% down year-over-year. In other expenses and operational revenues, we had 64 million, 20% up year-over-year, and this variation is due to the non-recurring effect on quarter four of the recovery of some tax credits related to the tax-free zone of Manaus, and this was also partially impacted by a tax provision for pension contributions, but in the end, the balance was very positive. In the entire year, the expenses added up to 1.75 billion, a 13.9% increase year-over-year. The next slide shows our EBITDA adjusted and our EBITDA margin. For the adjusted EBITDA in quarter four, it was 199 million with a 10.7% margin. For the year 2021, the adjusted EBITDA was 53.5 million with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 1%. As you heard before, the maturation time of our growth plan projects shows a mismatch between the increase in expenses and revenue generation, and Paulo focused on this aspect of the structural preparation of the company. I always say that we would have to stop this inertia in our CapEx and OpEx at some point, and you see a lot of consistency in what we have been doing in this direction. But of course, that in the short term, this has an impact on the company's profitability. We are self-sufficient. We are very diligent in this sense, but we are seeing that moment of transition, but everything is within expectations. We're very happy with these numbers. We also present our adjusted EBITDA for covenant calculation purposes, which was for 249 million. In this case, as you heard, the main difference here is from tax credits that compose this element so that we can meet contractual clauses for our loans. Here, we are also very diligent and responsible in how we manage this aspect. For net income and net margin, the net income for the quarter was 154 million with an 8.3% margin. For the year, net income was 329 million with a 6.4% margin, with a very relevant impact on income tax and social contribution, which had already been reported in quarter three 2021, coming from tax credits and the exclusion of ICMS from the calculation basis for PIS and COFINS between 2015 and 2017. This had already been reported, but this is also a component of this result here. If we exclude these effects of the tax gains non-realized in 2021, C&A would have a net loss. Finally, we're very proud to say, especially when we talk about stopping inertia, that our investments in the quarter added up to $347 million, up 93.6% year over year. It's actually double, nearly double the investments that we made in quarter four 2020. In the year 2021, investments were also record-breaking and added up to $682 million, more than 125% increase year over year and 110% compared with 2019. This is a moment of building and structuring for C&A Fashion Tech. We are executing everything according to the plan, and we also have a more consistent growth plan. We are very attentive to the macroeconomic scenario, and if needed, we will make adjustments. So in this sense, we are very much aligned. It is part of our growth plan. We are executing and operating and implementing with consistency, and we will certainly see the results in the future. For the quarter, the lever with the greatest focus was digital and technology. We invested $173 million of the $344 million total. And the investments were for omni-channel projects, WhatsApp sales, and also internal projects such as CRM, Associate App, and our customer service center. So we're very focused on bringing new technologies to improve the customer's journey at the different points of contact with the company and also improve the journey of our employees in our stores so that they can solve any problems or any needs our customers have during their stay in our stores. So we're very happy with the results that we are seeing from these investments. And also this quarter, we had the impact of C&A Pay. We have the pre-operational part, the preparation part, which was classified in the digital lever. So these investments, they were the apex of everything we had programmed for the quarter and for the year, and now we are certainly going to reap the benefits as we advance in these deployments and rollouts. So I stop here. This is the end of today's presentation. And I think now we can open the floor for questions. Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. We will take questions from investors and analysts only. If you have a question, please press star one on your touch phone. If at any point your question is answered, you can press star two to remove yourself from the line. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. We kindly ask you to pick up your handset when asking your question to provide better sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. If your question is not selected during the call, it will be answered later on by the IR team of the company. The first question is from Vitor Suvial, Santander. I have two questions. You talked about logistics and the investments that you made in 2021 for the sorter and the RFID. What do you expect in terms of level of service for 2022, and how will this impact the working capital and the margin for the year? And the second question is, sorry, the sound quality was not enough for translation. I apologize. Hello, Victor. Thank you for your question. Regarding your first question, you said very well that we are indeed making very strong investments in supply. And our goal is not just servicing our customers in a more assertive and expedited way, but also to gain efficiency. And this efficiency gain is represented by two elements there. first. We have lower stockouts with all these initiatives, push and pull, RFID, and infinite aisle. So the idea here is to be able to not lose sales due to stockouts. And another element is closing the margin gap. You see that we still have a margin gap compared with pre-pandemic levels. Inflation ended up hiding or attenuating the advancements that we had during the period, and I think that now, throughout 2021, we will be able to close this deficit that we still see in the gross margin from goods. So I think this is a paramount element in terms of your first question. Victor, can you please repeat your second question? Because the sound quality was not good enough. We apologize. Of course. It's about your global supply chain, the health of your global supply chain. Was there any change due to the conflict in Europe? Well, regarding supply, we already had more than 6 months of orders ready and prepared, so we don't have any clear impact, at least not for now. So it's not clear to us what will be the impact of this confusion in the global scenario. But I can say that at this point, we are not seeing any impact. Everything we have in terms of orders and volumes and costs, everything is on track. And here I'm talking about our international vendors. And for the year, about 20% of our sales come from imported goods. And of course, this is much more concentrated in the first half of the year than the second half of the year. In the first half of the year, we practically have received everything. And then in the second half, the percentual is lower. The percentual share is lower. So I don't expect to see any relevant impact on the results, at least not in 2022. The next question is from Thiago Suede, XP.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for answering our questions. On our side, we have three points that we would like to discuss with you today. First, about the start of the year performance. It would be really nice if you could share with us the sales and the store traffic, and also the breakdown between apparel and fashiontronics. Now, regarding C&A Pay, I'd like to explore the PDD aspect, the level of PDD that you had in quarter four. So what should we expect looking forward? And how do you see the roadmap looking forward for this initiative? Do you expect any cannibalization? And we would like to explore with you your perception. Do you think that the competitive dynamics could change for 2022 due to new entrants in Brazil? Thank you. Thank you for your question. I'll try to answer your first question. The performance for quarter one is clearly better than that of quarter four 2021. We are seeing a clear evolution in our traffic levels compared with the previous quarter, and progressively, we should also be seeing an impact on our levers. So the first quarter of 2022 is better than quarter four 2021 so far. Apparel continues to be an important highlight. And then you start to have a smaller comparison base. And this also ends up reducing the pressure that we saw during the entire year in 2021. So I think the prospects are positive when we look at quarter one this year. Regarding competition, it's not the first time that we see this happen. This is very relevant. We have new entrants with new formats. Sometimes they're even questionable in terms of tax-related aspects, but regardless, we must remember that the Brazilian market is still 85 to 90% composed of physical store sales. So I think the impact, at least for now, will not be that relevant. And for e-commerce, for online sales, despite all the new entrants, we see advances in the national market as a whole, not just in our market, but the national market. Everybody is gaining penetration and share. So this means that we still have a lot of spaces to explore. It is a quite fragmented market, and we have been showing that we are able to grow regardless of any new entrants. Milton, would you like to add anything about C&A Pay? Yes, Thiago, you talked about PDD. I would like to add another element here. Paulo had mentioned that we had 400,000 accounts open over 26 days of operation in December, accounting for 4% of our sales. And I'm very happy to tell you that today we have more than 700,000 accounts. So C&A Pay is advancing as planned. So this is one point. And this advancement as planned, based on our governance model that was presented by Paulo, we have the need to build the provisions as we have the lots of customers launched. So we are respecting all the policies from the central bank. We have very strict governance, but I must tell you two things. For C&A Pay, it is still small, and it is still very early to analyze customer behavior. We only had two pay dates so far, two monthly pay dates so far. So I'd like to reassure you about our very strict level of responsibility and governance in this sense. When we have very experienced people in the company working in this front, and we have a lot of experience as market leaders for so many years, so we're very well prepared to deal with all these issues. This is one element. And the other element is the legacy that comes from the partnership we had. As you heard from Paulo, this transition is so far very smooth and well administered by both parties. And this legacy is a customer base, and this customer base is suffering with all the macroeconomic impacts that are taking place right now. And the bank is also very strict in terms of their governance and how they make their provisions. And right now, they're making their provisions according to the trends that they see. But if you look at the results and you see heat, the heat comes from the legacy base for which Bradesco is responsible. So C&A doesn't really have a voice in that sense in terms of provisions. We are responsible for production in our stores and everything related with the processing and governance in this sense is under Bradesco. However, I must say that these are not concerning levels. Of course, there will be ups and downs in this journey. We are in a challenging macro moment, but we are well prepared for any surprises. As I said, you can rest assured that we are well prepared to face all these aspects. Thank you and congratulations for your results. The next question is from João Soares, Citibank. Good morning, Paulo, Milton, and everyone. Thank you for answering my question. I think it's important because we always wanted it to be a sales enabler. So let's go back to the short-term performance aspect. And it's very important to understand how it is playing that role of being a sales enabler, how it is allowing for sales that you didn't have in your previous structure. And the second point is that we know that Fashiontronic still shows a volatile performance due to the nature of its assortment. So how are you thinking about this assortment looking forward, the penetration of other categories other than smartphones? I know you're thinking of expanding your beauty accessories assortment. So how do you see, what are the prospects for your assortment looking forward, and how can we expect your Fashiontronics product mix to be in the midterm? Thank you for your question. We have two elements in this subject about unlocking sales. We ran two very interesting analyses. So looking at the month of December only, when we launched CNA Pay, and also now in January and February, it's very interesting. There are two points here. First, if you compare the number of people that are getting approval, and as I said, it is actually double than what we had in our previous format. The number of approvals is double what we had in our previous format. This means that for part of these people, there's a part of these people that would not be buying in the old model if they had not had that credit offer approved. So we ran an interesting analysis that showed that if we take the people that were not approved, how many of them actually went to the cashier and made a purchase, comparing to those that were approved and went to the cashier and made a purchase. And the conversion rate of the approved customers versus the non-approved, because they are all inside the stores, but some of them were approved and some were not. So the conversion rate difference is very significant. And another part, this is one part of the story. Another part of the story, which is actually more relevant and has an even greater impact, is the average ticket. The average ticket of a customer that was approved for CNA Pay versus an average customer with all other payment modes is clearly higher. And also the recurrence level, for example, customers that bought in December that come back in January, and customers that bought in January and come back in February, among those that were approved for CNA Pay, the percentage is much higher than those that bought in December and come back in January without being approved for CNA Pay. So CNA Pay will provide us with a higher average ticket, higher recurrence, and higher conversion. So these are the three dimensions that allow us to say for sure that we are seeing a direct impact on our sales results. Of course that, as we said, since this customer base is still very incipient relative to the total of the company, the impact is not that big right now, but progressively, month after month, we will see greater impact and an increasing impact over time. Now, about the volatility, we have to separate, because if we consider the way we manage these businesses, and actually I think that over time we will have to separate these major categories. First, electronics as a whole, because we had a crisis in that specific industry. We know it's a difficult category, but we also know that there are clear prospects for evolution in the future. As we saw last year, we see that technology transforms all the time and the macroeconomic scenario tends to improve. So if we think of the mid to long term, I have very positive expectations for this category. Now for beauty,
Beauty was a category that we started to invest more strongly last year. And we see very good results and a very interesting growth speed, very promising. So I do think that this category will be more relevant in the future than it is today. Today, its share is still very small. But year after year, we should be seeing a multiplication and an expansion of the importance of this category based on the results that we see so far, the implementation of the rollout of this category in all C&A stores. And this is a process that is still ongoing. We're still advancing in terms of the availability of beauty products in our stores. And throughout this year, we will advance significantly in this sense, and we will certainly see an increase in the share of beauty in our sales in the mid to long term.
Thank you, Paulo. And just one follow-up question. As you advance in these categories, should we expect an improvement in the profitability of Fashiontronics as a whole?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The beauty category by design has a higher gross margin, and it will certainly push the Fashiontronics margins up in general.
Thank you. The next question is from João Paulo Andrade, Bradesco BBI.
Good morning. Thank you for answering my question. I have a question about your expenses. You talked about the inflationary pressure on rentals and personnel. How should we think of this moving forward? Do you have anything related to collective bargaining agreements or rental increases?
Hello, João Paulo. Thank you for this question. These are two distinct things. For collective bargaining agreements, which is actually a very important labor-related topic, it is more spread out throughout the country because these agreements, they are regional. And we already had the collective bargaining impact for the central office, so this impact is already absorbed. And for the stores, as the year goes by, we will see these impacts, but we already have this captured in our forecasts. For rentals, we do have contract renewals, and we do negotiate. Traffic is clearly lower than what it was when we signed these contracts for the first time. So the discussion with the owners are still very active. Of course, there is an increase due to the indices that establish rental increases in our contracts. We have fewer contracts linked with the IGPM, so we are more dependent on the short-term inflation rate. And we also have internal mechanisms that we use as defense mechanisms when something goes off track. But I invite you to look at this in the following way. We are building this C&A Fashion Tech, and at some point, we will have to make the decision, and we will have to be bold enough to break the inertia that we had until 2019, which was decreasing investments and the negative spiral of cutting costs endlessly. And the same governance that used to do this and the same people that executed that old governance are the people that are still here today. So the responsibility and diligence is in the DNA of the company. We are not lenient. We are very strict. We're very diligent, but we will still see some inefficiencies in our expenses for some time, and this is something that happens by design. Thank you. The next question in English
is from Andrew Rubin, Morgan Stanley.
Hi, thank you for the question. Could you talk a bit more about push-pull and RFID? I'd like to understand how far are in the investments for these initiatives and any early indications how you can measure the performance. Thank you.
Hi, Ruben. Thank you for the question. So let's separate this into parts. First, in the case of push-pull, as I said, 20% of the addressable categories are already being distributed through the push-pull system. And here, basically, we're talking of comparing with other categories where we don't have push-pull. And so within the same store, you can see the performance, the sales performance evolution because of this availability and assertiveness in SKUs distribution. So if you compare before push-pull and after push-pull for a category that now has push-pull, and you compare with another category that still doesn't have push-pull before and after for the same period, and then you can understand what is the level of impact that that category specifically is showing. We understand that the potential that it has is about nearly 10% increase in sales for the categories after the rollout of push-pull, and we are on the right track for that goal. No, sorry, let me go back to the second element, which was RFID. RFID, as you are able to implement these in the RFID in your stores, and this is something that we continue to do in this journey, because it's not just about putting the tags in your products, but you also have the store infrastructure needed for that, and you also have the vendor infrastructure needed for that in your entire vendor base. That's why it is a more long-term process and more effort-demanding, effort-intensive. So throughout this year, we will have RFID implemented in 200 stores, fully implemented, 200 stores. And the way to capture the impact, actually, we have a few. The first one is the most objective, and it has to do with the with stock availability. So if you have higher accuracy, you decrease the level of safety reserves that you need to have in terms of stock availability for online sales, for example, for ship from store. So you increase stock availability, and this automatically will increase revenues and conversions. So if we compare with other stores that have the same types of products, when you start using RFID, you compare before RFID, you do the same comparison, you see the uplift in the sales after the rollout of this technology. We see an impact of about 7% in the availability of products online and shipped from store, from our physical stores. There are also other impacts that we have not yet started to capture, which is, for example, how to have more assertive replenishment and a better allocation model. And as we implement this in all our stores, we will certainly have a higher impact on this indicator. And also the possibility of having a higher store efficiency level, and this will lead to a higher service level to our customers and also higher expense efficiency for our physical store. So these are some of the elements. Now, in terms of the investment itself, I think a good part of the investment has already been made, or the majority of the investment has already been made, but we still have some investments that we will need to make looking forward in this sense. But a very significant percentage or the majority of the total investment has already taken place in 2021.
Great. Thank you very much for all the helpful detail there. I appreciate it.
This question and answer session is now closed. Now I hand it back over to Mr. Paulo Correa for his final remarks. Mr. Correa, you may proceed. Thank you all for participating in this call. As you heard before, quarter four was still a very challenging moment
regarding the macroeconomic situation due to the pandemic. Quarter one this year, we are looking at it in a more optimistic light, and we are certainly very confident and happy with the way we are advancing with our strategic plan, with our execution and the implementation and the capture of the positive impacts that we will progressively see in the future. Thank you all. Have a great weekend and stay safe. TNA's conference call is now over. Thank you all for participating and have a great day.